Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody, today. It is so great to have you with us, and special day, actually, and weekend, as this is Juneteenth. Now, if you are tuning in and you're not familiar with what Juneteenth is, I'm going to talk about it, break it down for you, and it's going to be a pleasure to do that with a very special guest that is continuing our exclusive series with us here. We started off with some levity. I always make her laugh, and she's a great audience as well as a great guest. We're talking about educational advocate extraordinaire Maureen Santora. You know, teaching and education are in her blood, and she's been doing this since 1967, and it's been an honor, continues to be an honor, to chat with her because she's full of zest, vim and vigor, passion, and life. And two of her daughters became teachers. Her son was a substitute teacher before he became a firefighter. Even her mother was a teacher. It's obvious that teaching is a genetic thing in her family, and it also allowed her interest to develop from her experiences as well. In addition to being a teacher, she raised a total of 6 children. 2 of those children came to her after her sister's passing. 2 of the children that she had raised had passed young as well. And she's been talking about life in general, dealing with things that happen to us all, things that we have to prepare for, things that we're not always prepared for, and also education, educating kids in a solid, effective, caring, compassionate way. And we've been talking about such a myriad of incredible things. It's extraordinary. Today, we're going to focus on Juneteenth. It is the 20th of June. Today is actual Juneteenth Day. So if you're not sure what I'm talking about, let's bring Maureen Santora on because she is just so extraordinary. She's so well-versed in so many topics when it comes to just life and living and growing. I just love chatting with her, and I know you guys do because the feedback we've had from our conversations as far as our listeners around the world has been and continues to be extraordinary. In addition to all of this, which we'll talk about during the show as well, Maureen and her husband Al have created something really notable, and it contributes to education in a great way. When they established the Christopher Santora Educational Scholarship Fund in honor of their son, Christopher, and it's a beautiful thing that we talk about during the show, and it's giving back in such a long-lasting way. Live and direct from New York City, let's welcome education advocate Maureen Santora as we continue our exclusive close-up radio series together. Maureen, welcome to the show today. It's always a pleasure to have you here, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Jim. I'm happy to be back on this very momentous day. You know, the first official national holiday of Juneteenth, and I needed to, you know, discuss this today because there are a lot of things that I think most people don't know about the day. First of all, it is the emancipation, you know, of slavery, the abolition of slavery that occurred in Texas on June 19, 1865. Federal troops, you know, came into Galveston, Texas. And at the time, there were 250,000 slaves in Texas itself. And you know, if you go back to history, 1865 was, you know, a time when Texas was not terribly you know, industrialized, and you know, it was farming and rural in the purest sense of the word. But federal troops came in, and they took control of the state to ensure that all enslaved people would be freed. Now, the troops came in, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation was, you know, given by President Lincoln in 1863, and it was 2.5 years after that that the troops came in. So there was a delay in freeing all the slaves, even though, you know, most people in history, in schools anyway, think that the Emancipation Proclamation freed all the slaves. Well, they didn't free everybody. They didn't free them in Texas. And the way the rule went was the Emancipation Proclamation made it that anybody who was in the Confederate states would have to free their slaves. They did not include the Union states. And the Union states continued to have slaves for quite a long time. They were, for some reason, exempt. Now, people don't know that, but that happens to be, you know, one of the facts that I think students need to know, and I think they need to be taught. And in December of 1865, the 13th Amendment was formally passed to abolish slavery in all of the states. So, you know, there was a delay from the original rule in 1863 to the abolition of slavery in 1865. I think that's really, really important, and I think people need to understand that, but it's not taught in the schools. Now, in Texas, Texas was the first state to, you know, have a official holiday of Juneteenth, and they did this in 1979. So that was quite a long time ago that they did this. And then other states began to have national holidays of Juneteenth. In Texas, if you're a student in Texas, you learn about Juneteenth. It's part of your curriculum. I have a daughter who lives in Texas, and I called her to ask, and her daughter is in high school, and she knows all about Juneteenth. But in New York City, most of the students have no idea why they have the day off today. They don't have a clue. I, you know, contacted my grandchildren who were in various high schools in the city, and I said, I just want you to ask your friends what they know about Juneteenth, because my grandchildren know about it. They said nobody knows. They're just happy that they get the day off, which is contrary to sound educational practices. If you're going to have a holiday that tells people about this important event in our history, you should be educated why you have this holiday. And so we now have, you know, parades, and we have celebrations on Sunday, and we have all of this. That's terrific. That's wonderful. But it should be part of the curriculum in the high schools, at least, and in elementary, you know, high schools, you don't get into the kind of detail that you do in the high schools. But American history is taught in the high schools, and it's also taught in middle schools. If you are not teaching this, then the reason that you're celebrating this day is mute. You have no idea why you're celebrating the day, and the kids are just happy to have the day off, which is contrary to the message that you expect people to have. And I can say with great certainty that when I was a teacher, this was never, never discussed. Unless you were a student of history and you liked history and you studied history, you didn't know about this day. It was in pockets of neighborhoods, and when you look at the northern states, New York, for example, in Brooklyn, in New York City, there was slavery for a long, long time. And you have little areas like Weeksville now and Brownsville. These were all pockets where slavery existed from the 1600s. And the Dutch came over with slaves. Now, it was abolished, and, you know, we did not have slavery in New York City, you know, from as long as some of the southern states did. But if you're studying this and you're trying to understand how this could have been perpetuated, you need to have the whole picture. And we're not getting the whole picture. And that disturbs me tremendously, you know, that we're not getting the entire story, because you want people to be educated and you want them to understand how this could have occurred and how this could have happened. And we're not getting that. And I'm very disturbed, you know. I was reading on the Internet. There's a young lady from Stuyvesant High School who wrote a wonderful piece. I'm going to quote what she said, because I thought what she said was wonderful. In New York City, they canceled the American History Regents on June 1st because of the Buffalo shooting that occurred in mid-May. And they did so because they said there were some questions on civil rights that were problematic. Well, I thought that was really unbelievable, because American history is American history, and you should know the good and the bad and everything in between. But they canceled the American History Regents, and she is a junior, and she was taking this exam. And Stuyvesant is one of the premier high schools in the nation. It's one of the top high schools with the brightest and the best students, you know, get to attend. And she said, you know, everybody was happy that they didn't have another Regents to take. But this is what she said, and I'm going to quote her, because I think she, you know, wrote something that is really phenomenal. We study history to use the past as a framework. In school, we must cover difficult events, violent, traumatizing, and tragic events, such as slavery and the dropping of atomic bombs, to prevent history from repeating itself. Sweeping certain historical events under the rug prevents us from progressing past them. And I thought that was terrific. I thought that was just terrific, because she summarized the crux of what we need to do and how we need to be better as educators, as citizens, and just as students of history.
That's so incredibly important, you know. It really is. It's funny, I once saw... I once saw a fantastic, like a Sunday morning cartoon type thing, or maybe it was like in an editorial section of a newspaper, and it showed something similar as far as the lack of knowledge about Juneteenth, but also just even related to other holidays. And they showed a highway that had one exit going in one direction and another exit going in another direction. So this traffic was splitting off to the left. This traffic in this colorful cartoon animation or illustration, the other traffic was splitting off going to the right. And they had two signs. One sign was to the beach, and the other sign was to the cemetery. And it was Memorial Day weekend. And in this funny statement of a illustration, it showed backed up traffic going to the beaches and like two cars going to the cemetery from Memorial Day. It was like such a statement on reality and what people make as priorities and things of that nature, huh?
Well, that's really, you know, the thing. And, you know, we have these holidays to help us remember what happened in history, you know, and that's absolutely true. People think of Memorial Day as a, you know, three-day weekend. They forget the reason why we have a memorial, you know, and you can do both, but you need to remember the sacrifices that people made. Well, the same thing is true with the Juneteenth. You know, slavery was horrible, and I don't think there's any person on the face of the earth that could condone slavery. However, in a lot of places in the world, there still is slavery. We have slavery in Africa, we have it in the Middle East, we have it in Asia, we have it in South America, we have it all over the world, and it's still in existence. And so you know, I think if we are a culture, if we are a people that are opposed to slavery, we need to know all about where it is in existence today. Now, in America, slavery, of course, is, you know, abolished, and it has been abolished, you know, for, you know, over 150 years. And you know, I think, you know, or close to 150 years. I'm off on my math. But, you know, the point is, you know, that we have evolved and we have worked toward making things more correct, to making things more equal, to making, you know, people feel that they are empowered to be anything and do anything they wish to do. And we've not succeeded 100%, and I'm not going to say that we are 100% successful, but we've done better than a whole lot of countries in the world. And I think every once in a while that needs to be mentioned. I think that the efforts need to be mentioned. And I would say with great certainty that most people are not bigots. Most people are not prejudiced. Most people in America go about their daily lives and they concern themselves with, you know, their homes, with their families, with their work, and they don't have time to be involved in these political discussions that are dividing people profoundly in this nation. So, you know, I would like, you know, it seems like Congress put the cart before the horse. They, you know, they made this a national holiday, which I don't object to in any way, but they failed to present the reason why this national holiday is in existence. And they made it appear that, you know, if you were not black, you could not understand the horror of slavery, which is incorrect. And it really is very damaging to everybody that you are not presenting it in a fair-minded way. The sins of our past drive us into a better future if we acknowledge them and we look at them and we, you know, address them. And they should not be eliminated. Statues should not be torn down by with Confederate soldiers, because it happened and it's accurate and it's the way we move forward as a nation. So, you know, I just, you know, I wish we were more, you know, we acknowledged more the things that actually happened and what is happening today, and kind of balanced it in a better perspective.
Do you think we're erasing history, or we're sort of whitewashing it? You know, we're sort of like rewriting history or eliminating things that are messages for us to learn from, like you say, mistakes made, things of that nature, poor judgment, what have you, that some of that really should be definitely looked at and observed and appreciated in certain ways, right? And if you remove it, I guess then it erases it in ways, huh?
Well, I think we are erasing history. I think we're doing that, you know, and I always think, you know, when I think of history and people who, you know, pretend that the Holocaust did not exist, if it weren't for former President Eisenhower, we would probably not remember that the Holocaust occurred. But he was responsible for taking all the pictures as he went through all of these terrible, horrible places that had mass murders. He was responsible, and he told his soldiers, they some of them had cameras, and they took pictures of the mass graves, and they took, so even if people say, well, this didn't happen, there is physical proof. So I don't think you should ever eliminate history. You know, when you go back to the Romans, and you go back to the, you know, the Greeks, and you go back to the Egyptians, you know, they did some horrible, horrible things. But we need to look at that and say, well, we're not going to do that, or we're not going to continue on that path, or we're going to change. And you can't do that if you've eliminated, you know, the proof that these things occurred. And so, you know, as I said, you know, I don't think there's anybody that thinks slavery is good. And you know, bringing that to the point, we have all of these you know, illegal immigrants coming into our country. Well, many of them are going to be slaves. They're going to be sex slaves. They're going to be people that are going to be indentured servants to try and pay back, you know, from the cartels, you know, what they were able to pay. That's not freedom. They're not moving into a free society. They're moving into a society under, you know, the cloak of secrecy because they're here illegally. And certainly, you know, if you don't look at that as a perpetuation of a form of slavery, then you're really, you know, misguided in a lot of ways. And so, you know, if your aim is to have everybody be free and be able to do what they want. Now, I certainly don't think people should be allowed to murder or kill, and that's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying that, you know, you should be able to accomplish whatever you are working hard to accomplish. And that should be your freedom, that if you're willing to work hard and you're willing to study and you're willing to, you know, stay with a task, which is something that a lot of young people don't do, then you should be able to be as successful as you hope to be. And so we need to keep all of these things as part of the history. And I do think that we are trying to erase history. In America, and particularly, you know, you have all of these labels that are you know, perpetuated on individual groups. And, you know, you can't lump everybody together. You can't say all blacks are good and all whites are bad, or all whites are bad and all blacks are good. You can't do that because everybody is an individual. And there's good and bad in every single group. And so your aim is to kind of educate everybody to acknowledge what is the right path to take in a society like America. So I wish, you know, that they had put forth a curriculum for Juneteenth before they passed this law. And I wish they had made this part of the American history, which it is not currently in the school system, in New York anyway. Now, I know that it is in other states, and I know for a fact that it is in Texas, because Texas decided in 1979 that they were going to make this a legal holiday. And the kids are, you know, the kids in Texas end their school in May. So nobody is off from school in May, but they have, you know, it's a holiday for everybody in Texas. Well, you know, they've educated their population on what this is and what it is about, which is the correct way to have done this. And, you know, I certainly think it's an important part of our history, and I certainly think we should, you know, applaud, you know, the fact that it is now, you know, a, you know, knowledge-based now. People will learn about this, but they should have learned about it prior to giving the holiday. And like you said, you know, with Memorial Day, you know, people are not quite sure what Memorial Day means, you know, and so that's our fault. That's our fault as educators, as citizens, as, you know, students, not knowing the reason why we have all of this, you know, and it's just something I think we need to do better on.
Yeah, in so many different ways too, and it's really interesting. You know, your perspective is so extraordinary. I love when you really share in the way that you do. You know, as I mentioned in the beginning, two of your daughters became teachers, and of course your son, a substitute teacher before he became a firefighter. Even your mother was a teacher. Would you say that educating, teaching, inspiring is a genetic thing in your family, or did the interest develop from experiences, or both?
Well, what I would say is that in my family growing up, education was very important. And it was, I grew up in a family that was colorblind. So I never was taught differences among people. And it was a very freeing experience, you know, because when I was a little girl, when we went down to Florida, they had fountains that were labeled colored and white. And I remember, you know, as a young child, you know, there was a line for the white water fountain and there was no line for the colored water fountain. And so my sister and I went out and drank from the colored. And people stopped my parents and said, don't they know how to read? And my mother and father said, of course they know how to read, but there's nobody on this line. So they're thirsty and they want to have a drink. And, it caused a bit of a stir. But I never experienced any of that as a young girl. We never had that and my mother and father, were religious, but we went to other churches and my mother believed that God was in everybody and it didn't matter. And so I grew up in a colorblind family where it didn't matter what the color or the religion or the preference or anything else was of your friend. If you had a commonality of common interest, you became friends. And so I was friends with a lot of different people and I grew up, of course, in a neighborhood that was very, very multicultural and it still is today, it was a very freeing experience. And when I went to college, I, for the first time, met friends who were taught, prejudice. And I had a friend who was from Trinidad, and we were very, very good friends, very, very good friends. And she got cut one day. We were, I don't know what we were doing some kind of sports. And a friend of ours came up, and she said to the, now this was a person in college, she said, oh, her blood is red. And, of course, I started to laugh. I thought, isn't that ridiculous? Why wouldn't her blood be red? She's a human being. But this girl had been taught by her parents that blacks did not have red blood. And I thought to myself, holy smoke, I can't believe that you're in college and you think this, but that was what she was taught. And so, those were lessons for me that I never, never, never forgot. I had another friend, who came up to me and said, oh, you didn't ask me about my horns. And I said, what horns? Well, she said, I'm Jewish, and I'm supposed to, all Christians think we have horns. And I started to laugh again because, of course, I was never ever, that was never something, but that's what she had been taught. So these were little things that came up as I was getting older. But when I grew up, I never in my entire life, judged anybody on anything other than our common interests. And that was, for me, a very freeing and wonderful way to grow up and a wonderful way to live my life. I still live my life that way. And I feel very sad for people who did not have that as an advantage. But education was the number one for us, that you needed to find both sides of the story. And we would have debates. And my son was a master at debates, He would always bring up the opposite point and send his sisters, into tizzy at the dinner table because he would do this on purpose. And they would yell and scream and he would say nothing. And then they would say, well, what do you think, Chris? And he would say, well, I just want to know what your opinion was. And then they'd go after him because they had gotten so upset, at this discussion. But that's how we communicated, by presenting both sides. And I think we've lost that. I think in a lot of ways we've lost that. If you're, a person that has a certain perspective, you're only allowed to think about that perspective. You're not allowed to cross over ever. You're not allowed to, defend the other guy if he's right, because you're on the opposite side. And that's really a terrible, terrible way to live, and we need to stop doing that. We need to stop doing that, and we need to find out and be more appreciative of the other point of view. And it may not be our point of view, and we may not agree, and that's okay. But we don't need to, run somebody over or, maim somebody or hurt somebody because they have a different point of view of us. So I think, education is the way to go. And balanced education is the way to go,
We only have a few seconds left, but did you want to squeeze in the Christopher Centaur Educational Scholarship Fund info?
Yes, I will. We're working toward, a fourth scholarship, I'm very pleased to say. The question will be, finalized this week, and I'll have all the paperwork. So the next week, I'll be able to provide, the question to your audience, and then anybody that wants to apply, they have to apply, you know, on the internet, you know. But I'll have the question all together. I don't want to, you know, go ahead of the schedule, you know, have my team be upset at me that I did this. So it'll be next week, and we'll have the question, and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to, have people apply, and we'll see what happens.
Exciting. That's very exciting. Yeah, I can't wait till next week. That's fantastic. Kudos to you for all that you do and have done, because you are extraordinary, and you're always, doing extraordinary things that really make our world a better place on so many different levels, Maureen. I really appreciate your time, and it's really amazing. We'll look forward to regrouping next week and going down the path of inspiration and education here on the show. It's always a pleasure, Maureen.
Thanks very much. I'm very glad to be a part of this. Very glad to be a part.
Oh, we're so glad to have you here as well. You enjoy your week, and thanks again, as always, for joining me. Always have a great time.
Thanks, Jim. Have a great week yourself and everybody else on listening as well.
Absolutely. Maureen, thanks again. We'll chat next week. You take care and be well, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
The one and only education advocate, Maureen Santora, who's absolutely extraordinary. Again, we're going to talk more about the Christopher Santora Educational Scholarship Fund, so make sure you tune in next week, because she has some exciting announcements that she sort of previewed a little bit on the show just now. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time till next time. Now with this episode, through Maureen, you learned a little bit more about the importance of Juneteenth and why the schools are closed, the post office is closed, the banks are closed today. Now you know why. Share that information with somebody else who might not understand why we have a federal holiday today. It's very important. All right, you take care, and thanks for being with us. Have a terrific day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.